distracted there for a minute with my technology. We have before us today this rich text from the beginning of the Gospel of John called the prologue. It is a little bit like a preamble. This Gospel from John chapter 1 can feel a little jarring, or perhaps it feels kind of esoteric after our beloved Christmas story. The pictures we have in our mind of the Holy Family in a stable, the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night, with angels appearing to them. What happened that now we are talking about the Word and grace and truth? Many central doctrines of the Christian faith are based on this first chapter of the Gospel of John, which we just heard. It is a gospel about who Jesus is and where Jesus came from. It is also a hymn, probably sung by the early church. The poetry of this hymn is in its form. It is something like a couplet in modern poetry. Notice, for example, a phrase ends with the word light, and the next phrase begins with the word light. Or a phrase ends with the word darkness, and then the very next phrase begins with the word darkness. Or a phrase ends with the word world, and the next phrase begins with world, and so on. In Greek, where things like prepositions and conjunction words do not exist, it might read, the Word is God, God is light, the light of the world is Jesus, Jesus is the light of the world, and darkness cannot overcome the light. So you see, even though when we hear this passage, it may seem confusing to try to sort out, think of it as a poem or a song. And as a song, it would have been easy to put to memory because of this couplet form in which the first word of the phrase is also the last word of the phrase preceding it. Later in the 4th and 5th centuries, the church might have gone off somewhat on a tangent in the church councils, trying to figure out the metaphysics of how these things are so. For example, how is it that Jesus could be both divine and human? How is it that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us? Though they tried to answer these things, many would agree there is not any satisfying definitive answer to these kinds of questions. But they tried to answer them nonetheless, because there was increasing pressure on the early church to define itself, to define exactly who Jesus is and was. And so the creeds and many major doctrines of the church came out of this passage from John, which you just heard. If you have ever tried to explain the Holy Trinity to a child, you know that the creeds are only explanatory to a degree. Perhaps it is something that cannot be explained entirely. There is so much about our faith, about the Christian faith, that is a mystery. And even after all my theological education, I find that much is a mystery. And mysteries are good because they remind us of who we are. There is God and a greater reality than us, so much greater than us. These holy mysteries also point to the fact that there is a depth to our faith that goes beyond any explanation. St. Thomas Aquinas, 13th century theologian, perhaps one of the most influential theologians of all time, certainly one of the most prolific, realized that when he came to the end of his master work, the Summa Theologica, or Theological Summary, a lifetime of work proving the existence of God, working out the metaphysics of how God is present in Jesus and how Jesus is present in the Eucharist, at the end of all this, volumes upon volumes of work, a virtual room full of the stuff, do you know what Thomas said? Thomas said it was just so much rubbish compared to the all-surpassing love of God. Well, few would call his work rubbish. All, in English, 2,179 pages of his work. Few would call that rubbish. But how wonderful to come to the end of all our questions and longing and wondering and find that God's love far surpasses all of it. In my first interview out of seminary, someone asked me, "Who is Jesus to you?" An excellent question. But after all my theological education, I stammered and stumbled over this question. Perhaps I should have used the old standby that it is a mystery. Jesus is many things we celebrate today. Emmanuel, God with us, Savior, Redeemer, Son of God, Prince of Peace, the Light of the World, Brother, Friend, and God, the second person of the Trinity, the firstborn of the dead, the Good Shepherd, Wonderful Counselor, the Word made flesh, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Perhaps it is helpful to remember that this passage from the Gospel of John was first a song. It is poetry. Is there any better way to speak of these holy mysteries and to speak of who God is and who Jesus is than to use poetry and to sing songs? In this Christmas season, we enjoy some of the best love poetry and songs about Jesus, many of them based on this first chapter of the Gospel of John. And so I would leave you with this question on the eve of the new year, perhaps an unusual New Year's resolution for you, to answer the question, who is Jesus to you? How would you name him? What song would you sing?